took an inordinate amount of time. Good evening, everyone. We are live. Welcome to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. The Vlogcast comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. This Vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people on Facebook that I knew said, we're doing Facebook the way that we want, which is posting what we like, which is not what you're allowed to do because you're telling us that we're posting stuff that's wrong or false, and that's not the way to do Facebook because what we're doing is right and you posting what you like is wrong. Part of this is also to follow up with the old adage that sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. I am known as Shujin Tribble all over the place. You can find me under pretty much everywhere under that. I was born in Brooklyn, New York, to a Roman Catholic family. I was raised on Long Island, and I currently identify as an unabashed atheist. Joining me tonight is, well, a shortened list of guests for the evening. First off, I start off in Buffalo, New York, USA, and I'm going to be taking this over the pond right now. First off, moving to the east, joining us from Great Britain is Chris.
Oh, hi, everyone. I'm Chris. I'm currently based in Northern England. I was raised as sort of nominally Catholic, but have been effectively an atheist since my early teens, and recently becoming more active in the community.
And south from there in France is Joe.
Hi. I'm from London, Ontario, Canada, but I moved here to France in 1989, Paris particularly, and I was brought up Anglican, and I was being weaned for seminary before I got into architecture, and I've been an atheist since discovering the real world.
Excellent. So, like I said, it is going to be a shortened group at the moment, and that's just the way it happens sometimes. It's quite all right. So, we'll be discussing, well, whatever it is that comes up in a couple of moments. If you would like to get in contact with us, of course, you've got the opportunity right here on the Hangout page. The question and answer system is open. Please, by all means, take advantage of that if you're watching live. And, of course, if you would like to send me a message through some of the other methods, like Twitter, Facebook, etc., 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 to instant message me, you can go ahead and find me under the name Shujin Tribble pretty much anywhere and everywhere. Not a worry. Get things started, of course, as usual, with apologies to Heath and Noah. 5 minutes on the clock to start off the 5 minute freestyle. Now, there are a couple things that I was mulling over in my head, as usual, to try to figure out what do I want to talk about. One of the things was I was thinking about talking about how unfree your free speech rights in this country actually are, which there's a thing behind that, and that'll save for another time. I could have just gone ahead and talked about things like, you know, New Year's is here, and what we'd be looking forward to during the new year, not the least of which is this year's March 4th, which is going to be an interesting time because you've got 3141592629256 or 925, I don't remember past that. That's as far as I memorized for a date and time. But that's only if you use the whole, you know, month-day conversion here in the U.S., but whatever. I ran into a problem with my computer setup where I lost a whole bunch of music files. Several teens of thousands of music files, unfortunately. And it's mostly because I wasn't paying close enough attention to what I was doing, because I'm moving some stuff around. But that's not the piece that I wanted to talk about in particular, believe it or not. When I was moving some files over from one hard drive to another to set up a new boot hard drive, specifically so that it's, you know, I can wipe it out and reinstall the operating system and not affect anything else, one of the files I found in my music collection that did copy over was something I'd kind of forgotten that I had downloaded. See, a couple of years ago, one of my first big out atheistic posts was after a week after Easter, a couple of years ago, where I basically said that I was a better daddy than the God of the Bible. And I made my arguments for it, and I thought they were pretty good. And I caught a lot of heat and a lot of grief from some people that, as I mentioned during the intro, you know, knew me from high school and such. And they took a lot of exception to that. Where I grew up was very much a Roman Catholic area, and these people did not like it. But this particular sound file that I had kept was from somebody that I knew back from high school, who was a dick back then, an absolute dick, and I got no problem with saying it, and hasn't grown up since. And the sound file in question was actually a copy of his Blog Talk Radio online show. And he and his wife, who, truth be told, I'm of the opinion that they deserve each other, decided that they were going to go ahead and they were going to rag all over me and say how much they wanted to kick my ass and how much they wanted to beat me up. And you know what? You want to believe whatever you want to believe, you can just go ahead and do that. But if you trash my religion, I will go ahead and I will get on you. And was ranting up left and right, up and down, every way that you can think of. And then had the audacity to say, well, if I'm sinning, well, then so be it. Because if I'm doing something wrong, God will let me know one way or the other. What a moron you are, Thomas. Yes, and I'm going to call you out by name. Thomas, I know it's several years past, but you're an asshole. Both you and your wife, and I'll tell you why. Because you can't even see what it is that you just said with all of that. Your God is big enough that if you're doing something wrong, he'll stop you. Is your God that powerful that he could just go ahead and stop you? Good! Because if you believe that, then that means that you believe that your God can stop me from doing what I'm doing. Strike me down with smallpox. Give me a heart attack. Ebola. Bubonic plague. You know what? You're an asshole. You were always an asshole. You will continue to be an asshole until you change the way that you think about your fellow man. You don't have to agree with me. You don't even have to be nice. But really, you want to go ahead and make yourself out as this big paragon for your religion? Maybe what you need to do is to really think better about it, because as far as my clock says, your time is up. Turn in your 15 minutes of fame. Turn off your Blog Talk Radio account before somebody decides to check and find out if everything that you've said on your show actually falls against their terms of service. Grow the hell up. This is episode number 47. Yes, we are creeping up slowly onto the 1 year mark, which would be number 52. And as stands right now, I got sweet FA as far as to a topic for tonight. So it comes down to, we're basically just going to shoot the breeze. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of different things that come to mind. Some of it's going to be worthwhile. Some of it's not. Some of it's going to be really heady stuff. Some of it's not. But when all is said and done, as always, we hope it's going to be worthwhile. Now, if you'd like to have us talk about some topic or other that you'd like us to, if you're watching live, please, like I mentioned, the question and answer system is available in there for you. You can go ahead and utilize that. And, or, if you would rather send in a text message instead for some reason and be a little bit more, you know, anonymous, that's perfectly fine. The phone number to send that text into is 859-HCTV-554. That translates out to some number or other that I don't have in front of me at the moment. So you know what? Big friggin' whoop. Where the hell did I put it? You know what? Screw it. I've got it around here somewhere. I don't care. You know what? I don't care. do whatever way you want. Or, of course, if you want to send it over via Twitter or Facebook message or something like that, just find me under Shujin Tribble. It won't be too difficult to find me. We got a lot of people who are watching us right now who are chiming in over on the Q&A. And as usual, we will acknowledge you by first name, not full name, because, well, you know, if you wanted to have your full name, you can do that your own damn selves a little bit later. Jason, I see you over there. Stephanie, hi. Joe, apparently you're getting a specific call out from Stephanie, if you see that one over there. Actually, let me pop that one, because I don't think that you saw it over there. So there you are. You do realize this is like audio and video. You can talk, right?
Sure, I'd like to. Well, I can't see the chat room, but that's not really worth discussing.
Yeah, if you just go to the left hand side of your screen, it should pull up the Q&A bar.
Oh, awesome! Okay, got it.
Yep.
I'm a newbie.
Yeah, I'm still getting used to this Google interface as well.
Yeah, that was something that we talked about before we came on. The Google interface, the Google Hangout system, you know, it's nice, it's cool, it gets out to everybody, it's free. So it's just takes some getting used to. It's not exactly the most intuitive piece of programming ever, but
no, I'm just discovering.
There's nothing wrong. Not to mention the fact that you just woke up. That can't help at all.
Yeah, well, I'd like to write them a letter, actually.
I'm going to request that you hold off on that letter until after the caffeine's kicked in. Just a thought. But anyway, Stephanie, of course, thank you very kindly for all the stuff that you end up doing on. Thank you. Clone Talk, I am unfamiliar with you, but thank you for chiming in from Germany. That's very cool. A lot of folks over on the European side for a change. Thank you. Jason, Katie, I see you over there. Thank you guys so very much for hanging out with us for the evening. The rest of the typical crew is unfortunately out and away. We may end up getting Joe. He's been a little bit busy with some stuff, so maybe not. Dallin has been sickly, so probably not. And Heretic Woman has got a familial engagement that's going to be coming up, so probably not going to be able to show. And we had Unrenowned Tech just a little bit before we went to air. He's got something that he's got to do early in the morning, so he can't be hanging out with us and such, which is fine. There was one thing that I did want to bring to the table to start us off with, even though it, like I said, I don't exactly have, but I was planning on using this graphic during my 5-minute freestyle anyway. So bring this up. This picture has been making the rounds very, very recently, and I like this a lot. The difference between old atheists, meaning how things have been in the past, versus the new atheists, meaning basically the 21st century equivalent of what's going on now. And I like this a lot, because this really encompasses everything that's going on with the atheist movement at the moment. And I will make a specific reference out, because it's credited to Bradley James Peterson, and assuming that is the person that for whom the piece actually goes to, first off, thank you so very kindly for putting that together like that. That is so good. So I want to go ahead and I want to talk with you guys about that one real briefly, because this is far more on my side of the equation, my side of the pond with everything versus you guys by comparison. But alrighty. And meanwhile, I'm getting a message coming through on my side. Chris, let me throw it over your way first off, because no other reason other than I just need a quick second to see what's popping over on my window over here.
Yeah, no problem. Although I've been a sort of a non-believer or an atheist probably for about the last 20, 22 years, something like that, I've only recently started to get involved in the community and to look out, say, within the last year or so. Prior to that, I came from sort of more the skeptics community, thanks to the guys over at Merseyside Skeptics Society and their sort of 1023 campaign of a couple of years ago on there. And it started basically opening my eyes to the level of nonsense out there and how much this is impacting people's daily lives, impacting people's health, finances, on there. And then through that, obviously, I came through to the atheist community and found that religion is also doing a lot of the same stuff. And I'm hearing a lot from the US, where certainly Christianity is much more active than it is in the UK. We tend to look at sort of people who go to church here as a sort of a bit nerdy and a bit oddball regularly. Where I was going to go from there. But I think a lot of people have seen in the last few years the damage that's being done by religion, by pseudoscientists, by woo-woo and snake oil merchants, and people have just sort of had enough and are now starting to speak out.
Okay. Joe?
Yeah, well, for me, it's... I've been watching from a distance since, God, so 20 years now, and I've been getting into neuroscience lately, and for me, it's coming down to critical thinking, and it all comes down to this, and it's not only for religion, but it's for a lot of society. A lot of the society's problems are because of a lack of critical thinking, and religion is basically training people not to think critically, so they're not questioning anything. And then I think if we fix this problem, then I think a lot of society problems will be fixed.
Yeah, I had quite a good example of this over Christmas. So I went home to Southwest England to visit my mother, and she'd seen something recently on various theories about how the Hebrews exited Egypt, the old Reed Sea thing, and then something about a tsunami possibly like drawing back the water. And I explained something which I've heard put really well by Brian Dunning on his Skeptoid show, is that before you start asking like how an event happened or why an event happened, is to ask, did it actually happen? Is there anything to look into here? And it turns out that there's, you know, very little or no evidence of any sort of significant Hebrew in Egypt at any time. So there would have been no need to cross the Red Sea.
I go as higher or lower, it depends on how you look at it, but why is the story being told in the first place? What's the purpose of telling the story?
You know, it's a really good question. We got something from Jason. We're going to cover your topic in just a couple of moments, but that's actually an interesting point that I think I want to hit, because my friends and I get together on Saturday nights, just, you know, get together, play games, watch videos, movies, dinner, talk, that kind of thing. And I brought to the table at one point that we like to joke on various movies that are so bad, that are just so bad. And some people will remember it. Back from the mid-70s, there was a movie with Ernest Borgnine is one of the stars, if you will, called Super Cop. Don't ask. No. Just don't. Just let it go. And I pointed out that SuperCop, as craptacular as that movie was, is still a better movie than Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas. Now, there are a lot, relatively speaking, of religious movies that were religiously themed movies that have been happening in the last recent memory. Noah, for one, comes to mind. Saving Christmas, the Exodus movie now, and I mean, for whatever reason, it seems like there is a number of them that are hitting very, very close together by comparison. I mean, we've had things like, you know, The Passion of the Christ. Why would anybody want to watch that? But, you know, whatever. A couple of these things here and there. But a number of them seem to be hitting, like I said, very, very quickly compared to a lot of other stuff. And that is a really weird thing. So, yeah, that's... Joe, I'm bringing it back to you, because what possible reason can you think of that for making these things hit now?
Desperation?
I like that answer. The almighty dollar, sure.
No, desperation. Because look at the movement to... they're trying to insert Bible study into school. They're seeing the numbers go down, and they're trying like mad to indoctrinate. The indoctrination drive is going up. That's what I see anyways.
That's a good point. How about you, Chris? Any thoughts on that one?
I'm not entirely sure on this one. You do tend to get spates in Hollywood, you know, in big budget movies. Like the last, 5 years? How many goddamn superhero movies have we had?
This is true.
On there. And so I don't know if this is just a phase or if it is more of a desperation thing. I think things like Saving Christmas and Left Behind do display a certain desperation, possibly relating to the actors' careers for getting involved in it.
Now, Hollywood running out of ideas definitely does figure into the picture.
It doesn't surprise me. And you're right. I mean, there is a bubble... I'm not sure that that's quite the right word I'm looking for, where there are a number of similar themes that happen all at the same time, which doesn't surprise me. Plus, I mean, let's face it, and yes, I'm going to be ragging on my own country here for a couple of seconds. Nothing new is being added to the American Public Domain Library collection again this year, 2015.
Really?
Nothing, because in the U.S. they changed the copyright law, so we're not going to have anything going into public domain this year, or next. I think maybe a year after that, maybe. I think possibly. I could be wrong. They screwed everything the hell over. It's... I forget what it is, but I think it's something on the order of like 75 years... Sorry, life plus 75 years. For copyright, which doesn't make whatever. You know what? Sure, yeah. You know what? We can have another rendition of Romeo and Juliet. How's that? I mean, that's still public domain, right? 1700s, 16, whenever the hell those three guys who were credited as being William Shakespeare wrote it. I don't know what the hell it is. It's just annoying.
Well, tell me about this.
That's something with Shakespeare. They always... It seems to be maybe the same sort of three or four titles that get made out of his whole body of work. And just mentioned Romeo and Juliet's one. Othello seems to come up as well.
Yeah, I'll tell you why that one in particular caught my attention. Joe?
Yeah, I just wanted you to explain about this yearly thing. What is this about?
Okay, well, before I hit that, the reason why I mentioned Romeo and Juliet is because there are a lot of different renditions. It's one of the most famous pieces. Plus, it has gotten one of the best recreations in the form of West Side Story, which a lot of people don't look at it and realize that's just Romeo and Juliet all over again, but set in, the immigrant areas of New York City. And then when you bring that to people's attention, it's just like, wait, really? Oh yeah, I guess I should really read that. Anyway, every year, I forget what day it is. I forget if it's the first or the second or the third of the month. The United States has got, I don't remember if it's the United States, but it's Public Domain Day. And it's a celebration of new works that go into the public domain, which could be music, could be literature, could be plays, it could be virtually anything. Excuse me. And unfortunately, because of the way that the copyright law has been changed around here in the US, it's going to be virtually impossible to get anything into copyright for the next 5 years or more. I forget exactly how long it's going to be, because it went from being, oh God, don't quote me on the numbers, but it was something on the order of like, you were automatically copywritten on whatever it was that you produced for. I'm just going to put a number because I know that it's wrong, but it gets the point across. Automatically copywritten, whatever it is, for 15 years. It's not the right number, but just go with me. With an extension available for an additional 15 years. So theoretically, 30 years after something was produced, again, not the right numbers, I know, just go with it. Information that was put out there one way or another, something that was created, would become part of the public domain. People would be able to use it, create with it, investigate through it, discuss it properly without having to worry about anybody saying, you're not allowed to use this clip of fair use. What the hell is that? By the way, hi, YouTube. But over the years, it's gotten longer and longer and longer to the point now where, if memory serves, and I could be completely wrong about this, current copyright was changed around in the 70s. And
Yeah, I've just pulled that up, Xujin. Copyright Act of 1976, it's granting exclusive limits generally up to 70 years after the author's death.
which
So if
means.
it's something produced by a young artist, you could be talking well over 100 years.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, truthfully, asinine. I mean, the whole point of copyright law was to grant somebody the opportunity of making their money off of something. And rightly so. I'm not the most capitalist pig personality in the world, but I will even say, look, you made something with your own blood, sweat, and tears, so to speak. Don't hit me for that one. That's a common term. You can't get me on that one. But you give everybody else an opportunity of, enjoying without needing to go crazy. I mean, 50 years after you've created something, something could very easily be in the copyright. I mean, 50 years is a long time. But now we're talking about the lifetime of whoever it is, and then 70 plus years on top of that. Why exactly? It's not like that in the rest of Europe. The EU's got very different listings. Canada, best of my knowledge, has also got different stuff. So it's just a big thing. And apparently Joe's going to be joining us momentarily. And there you are. Good morning, Joe.
Yes, it is.
Good evening, Joe.
So would you like to put your intro in here and say hello to everybody?
Hi, Hi, everybody. My name's Joe, and I'm late.
And your microphone is also very weak.
Testing.
No, it's... Wow, whatever it was that you were just moving around was really loud.
Yeah, that was my boom.
There you go. You sound okay. Fine now.
Guess I got a loose wire or something. My name's Joe. Born in Chicago to a Roman Catholic family. Spent 8 years in the military. Currently living in Pittsburgh as an atheist. And yes, I'm late. I apologize.
We will document.
Not as late. Not as late as I was last night.
That's true. But yeah. That's a whole other piece for later. Yeah, like I said, the copyright is just insane, which is yeah, a whole other piece.
Yeah, UK copyright is again the 70 years after the author's death, which was actually 1995 they brought in. It used to be originally, I believe, 42 years from the date of publication of the work, or the lifetime of the author, and then 7 more years, whichever period ended up being longest. But it looks like they've been increasing internationally the protected time.
And I could be wrong about this one, but if I remember correctly, I think one of the biggest pushes for this had been, may still be, may not have been, the Disney company. Now, it could be completely wrong, but if memory serves, going under the old system, Mickey Mouse would have become copyright null, meaning public domain, not too very long ago. But
null was 3 years ago or something.
Theoretically, but come back to that for another time.
Not being a copyright lawyer, I don't know if that would have been just the early Mickey Mouse stuff, the character, or how it would have affected more recent works. I suspect it's going to be a lot more complicated.
Very, very true. Steamboat Willie would have probably itself been in public domain, but who only knows? Maybe one of these days we'll be lucky enough with somebody to pop in who's got a little bit more of an idea about that. Maybe we'll get lucky that way. Anyway, the question that had been posed up by Jason, and thank you for being patient, by the way. Told you we'd get to it eventually. Jason, and I'm not going to read it as written, just to make it a little bit easier. I'm always very above board when it comes to stuff like that, so nobody gives me a hard time about it. Jason is asking about the concept of trans teen death and how we feel about that. There was, and I haven't vetted the story myself completely through, there's a story that came out recently about a young person, I forget how old, who was transgendered, apparently, and left such information in a suicide note, and killed themselves. And I'm using very neutral pronouns because I don't remember the entirety of the story. I don't remember if this person identified as male, female, or other. So I would much rather err on the side of sounding uncomfortable in how I'm saying it, because I would rather do that than insult somebody, especially in a situation like this. I've got, of course, my opinions on this one. You know what? I'm going to make this easier. Pennsylvania Joe, I'm going to refer to you as Joseph to make it easier. In Europe, I will refer to you as Joe. And Chris, I'm just going to call you Hey You, because it's just going to be easier on my brain right now.
Yeah, I'll answer to most things.
I see how it is. You're trying to replace me and Dallin.
It's not because I'm trying to. Dallin is still sickly. You're just becoming a late timer is all. So I'm going to start with you, because I know full well that we've talked about a lot of different things on Friday shows, a lot of news reports that kind of fall along a lot of these lines, and I'm pretty sure that you and I are going to be on the same wavelengths, so I figured I'd hit you first.
Well, as someone who has
several,
let's just say a handful of friends who happen to fall into that category, that would be transgender, whatever. I prefer to identify people as they choose to be identified.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they're not an asshole, then, you know, they're identified as an asshole.
See, just bringing it all back around to the 5-minute freestyle, but we'll talk about that another time.
But, that said, whether it's a result of bullying, whether, you know, they take their own life, or it's someone else potentially taking their life, it's unacceptable. To drive somebody to that point, or to go out and do that much to someone over something so fucking trivial, something that is personal, they're not affecting you in any way. What, are you afraid that you're going to get cooties when you go in to your local Starbucks and they make you a cup of coffee? What are you, fucking 11? Pardon the language. I know this isn't a Power of 10 show, but grow up, people. And for those of you who identify with this category, I personally, as someone who has very little experience myself with this sort of thing, I'm going to have to borrow from our good friend George Takei. It does get better. Don't let it get you down, because it does get better.
If only in this particular case. Joe, yeah, it's... Bring it over to you.
I'm assuming that this is attached to a story that I missed.
Well, sort of. I'll bring you a little bit more up to speed in a couple seconds. Joe?
Yeah, it's just too bad that she didn't make it through the parenting stage, because that's the crucial moment. I mean, as soon as you can get out on your own and get some independence, that's when life starts, usually. But what really gets me in all this is the clan mentality that, what gives these people permission to mind everybody else's business? Because that's basically what it is. I mean, how can I put this? Sorry.
It's okay. It's a difficult topic. So the only way to put it is honestly.
Sorry?
I said the only way to put it is honestly. Whatever is your honest feeling on it.
Yeah, I mean, trying to make everybody conform to some preconceived idea that has nothing to do with the person preaching it. I mean, they don't even understand anything about what's. It's trying to make everybody fit the same mold. That's what I'm saying.
I'll take it from there then.
Yeah, please. Chris? Sorry.
No worries. It's okay. Chris, yeah, by all means.
I was going to say, I can jump in. I've just, it's a story I was partially familiar with, and I've just looked up the details. So this was the case of a 17-year-old transgender girl, identified as name of Leela, who committed suicide because she wasn't getting any support from her parents. Her parents had only taken her to religious counselors who obviously weren't skilled or able to deal with that kind of issue. And there were also problems with the fact that she couldn't transition until she was over 18. And from this is coming from the end of her suicide note, where she was saying gender issues need to be talked about more in society and need to be taught in schools along with the rest of sex and social education, because there are a lot of people out there who have probably been in similar situations, and it's time to accept that human gender is not a binary, male or female thing. And there's a whole spectrum of differences, and people need to be aware of these and accept them. I can understand it being difficult for the family in this case, because obviously it's for a Christian parents, they weren't able to deal with it.
Yeah. Joseph, you wanting to put something else in there now?
Now that I know what this story is about.
I take it you read the note.
No, I assume that's Chris had gone over.
Mm-hmm.
The problem, I just don't know where to start, because the science is out there. Why people are getting... The science has been out there since the 1970s. It's actually a university from my hometown, London, Ontario, University of Western Ontario. They've been doing studies into the difference between the male and the female brain. And they've been doing this through fMRI scans. And there's a really good book about that out there. But, the science has been out there since like a quarter of a decade already. And this is still a controversy. And it just boggles the mind why people are still, why it's still an issue.
Well, Chris, hold on a second. Let me let Joseph finish off his thought on this one first.
Yeah, because I actually hadn't even gotten started on it. I was just verifying facts.
Yeah.
As someone who grew up in a abusive household, Chu, you're familiar with the story. I grew up with my mother and my father. My father was a very abusive individual. Not the kind that just talked down to you, not the kind that, overpunished you when you did something wrong. I'm talking about came home and violently beat the living hell out of myself, my mother, and my siblings. Thankfully, I did not have to live with that throughout my entire childhood. But I've lived through it enough to remember what it's like. So I know what an abusive household can be like. Secondly, I have a very, very dear friend of mine who just recently got their name changed. They are in the middle of a male-to-female transition. Their name is Caitlin. And they were, up until recently, living with their mother and her boyfriend. And this is somebody who I would get on Skype with on a daily basis. And I would hear the yelling, the screaming, the tone of voice, the nasty, nasty things that were said, not just by this person, by the boyfriend, but by this person's own mother, by their own flesh and blood, the person that brought them into this world. Look, I'm not going to tell a parent how to parent, because I don't have kids. I look after my niece and my nephew, but I don't have kids of my own. And it's probably not a possibility at this point. But that aside, your job is to keep them safe, teach them right from wrong, teach them the skills that they need to survive in the world, but let them be them fucking selves. Of all the people in the world, you, most of all, should be the one appreciating your child for who and what they are and what they want to be. You are the one who is supposed to be supporting them, keeping them safe, making them feel like they have a home, rather than driving them out like this.
Like I said, so, you and me, we're very much on a lot of the same wavelength, man.
So I'm not going to get verbal, but to parents who have this mode of thinking, straighten your act up.
Well, so much for our PG-13 rating for tonight. Chris?
Yeah, I was just going to pick up on what Joe over in Paris was saying about a lot of the medical science and stuff on gender and gender-ish identity issues has been out for a long time. But society is still largely operating on this binary male-female model. You see it in things as simple as if you need to sign up an account for a company, a bank account or a credit card or whatever, their database will only handle male or female. You've got restrictions on restroom usage. Companies I've had before dress codes that they have a male dress code and a female dress code. And if you were born as a male, and I apologize to if I'm screwing up the terminology here because I'm not as familiar with it myself as I should be. But basically, if you were a transgender woman and you wanted to wear the female dress code, you basically had to get a note from your doctor to say you're undergoing transition treatment, which is singling people out. And my view is, a society in this day and age should be able to cope with this because it's been around and it's been known for a long time.
And Joe, was there anything else that you wanted to add on to that one? I mean, you've at least got some minimally passing information on what you're saying, the studies and such. I don't know if there was anything else you wanted to add on to that at this point.
Yeah, just about the all this controversy, quote unquote. For me, it's just about the science not fitting into the mold that society has created. And it also leads back to critical thinking, because most of us are brought up in an obey model, that we have to follow orders. And the parents are convinced that if their child doesn't obey them and be exactly like this, then they won't survive. I mean, they have good intentions, and they don't know any other way. They don't have any other model to follow. And a lot of parents aren't. They don't think critically. They don't think for themselves. So for them, it's just follow the rules, follow the model, fill the molds, or you're done, or you're out, or you're excluded, or it's bad.
Yes, Chris.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Again, following on from what Joe was saying, if as a person you've only been exposed to, say, a religious model of human relationships, or whatever, and your child comes out at age 14 as being a gay or transgender or whatever, and this is something that you have no understanding of, and so you've always been told that such people are bad or twisted or confused or whatever, your immediate reaction is likely to be negative on there, and that's going to be, you know, stick with a child, and it's probably not something that most parents are prepared for, but it's something that, you know, really society should be preparing people for, that your child may have a different sexuality to you, or a different religion, or maybe want to go to art school instead of medical school or whatever. You know, that they will be their own person.
If I could, I have an example. It's not only about being gay or not, or this mold thing. When I was growing up, I had a paper route, and God, it must have been about 13. And my parents were always telling me, there's this guy living in the neighborhood. His face was like covered in tattoos. His entire body was completely tattooed. And my parents were saying, okay, watch out for this guy. Watch out. He's like dangerous. He's, you know, evil in some way. And I found out it was one of the nicest guys in the quarter. And every time I delivered the paper, I'd be there like for half an hour talking with him, because the guy at the end of the end of the story is that he was actually lonely. And he was one of the most interesting people in the quarter. So it's like the reality is completely the opposite of what my parents were teaching me.
Mm.
That can be really... there's a whole piece about that I want to talk about briefly to kind of put a cap on that one in a second. But first off, of course, talking Wallflower, thank you for adding the information. The person's name was Leela, male to female transition. And Katie, thank you for adding also this piece. Born male, identified as female. And a lot of it had to do with religious parenting. And that was a piece that I wanted to specifically slide us into. But before I get into that in a second, because that one's going to be a real hornet's nest, and I know it. What you were describing, Joe, about, you know, the guy was lonely. He had this tattoos all over his face and whatnot. Are you at all familiar with the old TV shows from the 60s, The Munsters and Addams Family?
I totally identified with that when I was growing up. Yeah, loved it.
Okay. The thing about these two shows that kind of comes into play with this is The Munsters were... For anybody that, for whatever reason, don't know, The Munsters and The Addams Family, both in the 60s, mid-60s, great, great, great TV shows. The point of it was, for The Munsters, they were a prototypical suburban American family comprised entirely of the great monsters of the Universal era. Hmm. So Frankenstein's monster, the vampire... The magician, I don't know what you would call Lily. I want to call her Succubus. I'm sorry?
I believe she was a witch or something along those lines.
Could have been. A werewolf. And the odd person out in the family was the niece, who don't know who mom and dad was, but doesn't matter, who was otherwise just a normal, lovely young lady. But the point of it for the family was, on the outside, they looked so bizarre and so different to everybody else. But on the inside, they were a close-knit family, as close as anybody else. They loved each other, and they cared for each other. They cared for their fellow people around them. And that was always a great, great, absolutely wonderful piece to take away from it all, no matter how much slapstick comedy there was and how much... eventual Three's Company-esque, not paying attention to what's going on around you, misunderstandings. But it was always, for me, you know, they look weird on the outside, but they're just like everybody else. which is kind of where I wanted to take part of this too.
What was funny about that show is that it was completely different depending on who was watching it, because people who identified with these outcasts, they were laughing at suburbia.
Yes.
That the people that were making fun of the family, and for normal people watching the show, they were making fun of the family, or they thought the family was odd.
Yeah, exactly. Which turned out to be exactly the opposite for the Addams family. For the most part, they looked pretty normal, but on the inside, they were kind of sick, demented, twisted, but still a close-knit family. Yes, Chris?
I'm going to have to disagree with you on the Addams family. What I think you've got there in many respects is an absolutely amazing family. Sick, twisted, demented. Basically, they didn't really give a shit and did what they wanted.
Fair enough.
On there. But you've got Morticia and Gomez, who've been married, probably 10, 15 years, and still absolutely madly in love with each other. Both parents absolutely dote on the kids, take care of their elderly relatives, and they function really well together as a family. It's just that they don't fit into society's mold. On there, and there's some brilliant early episodes which tie into some of the modern themes we get regarding evolution in schools. In a way, one of the first episodes was, I think it was Wednesday comes home distraught from school because they've been told that some bully in a suit of armor has been going around slaughtering all the dragons.
I vaguely remember that, yes. Now, Joseph, did you want to pop that one? Okay. Moving on.
All I can say is, great show. Fun with the family. Just make sure your kids are old enough to understand the gimmicks before you show them, because I remember the story of my oldest brother and sister. My brother tried to hook a car battery up to my sister's chair, trying to mimic one of the Addams Family things when they were really little. Make sure they understand the gimmicks first.
Remember, kids, don't use car batteries on your sisters on their chair. You're going to blow up the battery and everybody's going to get hurt. Really, ask the professionals to help you. I'll help.
And if it's a wooden chair, it's not going to work.
That's probably the safest bet then, because you don't want to blow up that.
Yeah.
So, now,
before we move on from that, there is an absolutely great video of Morticia and Gomez Addams dancing a waltz to the masochism tango song by Tom Lehrer on there, and it's a great little YouTube video.
Yes, there's some kind of a vote of some description. I don't remember where it was, YouTube, whatever, where people rated who was the most romantic couple ever, and Gomez and Morticia were the head of that list. It might have been the guys over at Screw Attack or some other top 10 list. I don't even know. I don't care.
Probably Watch Mojo.
Yes, it was probably Mojo. It was great to see, because it was like, who's it going to be? Yeah, you can't go wrong with that.
Hey, they give a whole new meaning till death do us part.
That's true. That's very true. I got to hit this one, because as much as I want to go on with Wallflowers about the pastor who left for a year, we will hit that in a couple of moments, and because that's a really, really great, great topic I gotta hit. We need to cap this whole thing off about Leela. The idea of non-secular therapy. Non-secular treatment. for medical, mental, doesn't matter what capacity. We've heard on too many occasions of people who, Jehovah's Witness in particular, will refuse medical treatment, will refuse a blood transfusion, for one thing. And I gotta ask, how can, I'm not even sure what the right question is to ask at this point. How can we allow medical exemptions for religious reasons? I mean, there are times when children end up dead because they wanted to pray the sick away. And don't even get me started on the whole pray the gay away thing, because that's an episode all unto itself before we get to that. Chris, I want to start over on your side a second, because since we've got, you know, you guys, I want to take advantage of that one. I don't know how much overlap there is from EU membership, but for England, is there any such equivalent for a religious exemption medically for anything, to the best of your knowledge?
I believe there is for people to have the right to refuse medical treatment for themselves. So you've got like the Jehovah's Witnesses, etc., that will refuse blood transfusions on there. I'm not too sure what the law is regarding dependents and children and things on this. But I've been recently absolutely horrified to see there's a church somewhere in America where they've had about 12 kids die of neglect, and they think there's probably more based on the number in that church's cemetery.
Yes, Jim. And
there were the number was outrageous. It was around 80. They found 80 or something like that in the cemetery. 80 bodies.
Yeah, and I think about half of them were children.
And where was this again?
I can look it up in a minute. It's one of the really fundamentalist sort of US churches. I think they're a fairly small group. But in that state, and I need to check which state it is, there is an exemption law which allows them to basically let their children die if they do so for religious reasons on there. And it's how many children are also suffering needlessly with diseases, you know, and illnesses, whatever, injuries that they don't die of.
Wonderful. While you're looking that up, Joe, how about for you over there on the mainland? I mean, do you guys have, best of your knowledge, anything like that?
Not to my knowledge. Everybody is pretty well on their own here, but because you can get the medical care that you think you need or your doctor thinks you need. But religiously here, I mean, people like the Jehovah's Witnesses, it's just so minor. It's really not an issue. I mean, the Scientology church just closed here, actually. They had two. I mean,
Was it the French courts that referred to Scientology as organized fraud?
Oh, yeah, that's it, yeah. 2 years ago. And they lost their religion, appellation. They're not a religion anymore in France.
You know what? I know the bard had once said, kill all the lawyers, but in this particular case, a stay of execution would be really, really nice. All right, Chris, you found some of the information on that one.
I did, yeah. It was, this was been covered recently on the Barroom Atheist podcast. Yep. They've touched on it before. I don't know if you can put that link next to the show somewhere, Eugene, but basically this is a group in Idaho that believe in faith healing only. And there's been at least 12 children that have died on there. And in Idaho, I don't think the parents have even been charged because there's a religious exemption law, which covers, I'm just reading the article now, we're on Raw Story. The exemption covers manslaughter, capital murder, and negligent homicide charges, but cannot be cited if a parent uses any other form of treatment on top of praying for the child. So the law specifically says if you're going for faith healing, you can't use any medical intervention at all, like no painkillers or anything, which seems absolutely insane. And my thoughts on it basically is that if you have a person or a child, whatever, in your care, and you allow them to die from medical neglect, it shouldn't matter a damn what your religion is. The person is still dead. They've still been neglected, and you should be held responsible for that. If you choose not to go to the doctor yourself or refuse treatment for yourself, that's your own decision. But you shouldn't be able to do that for anyone else.
Yeah. Joseph, I'm going to throw it your way also. Plus, I need to mute out my microphone for a moment. I want you to hit on that one. And since you've got information on the armed forces, and I'm assuming a little bit beyond just the U.S. forces, too, I'm kind of wondering if you had any kind of interaction with NATO, too. What kind of information you might have on that angle as far as to, you know, medical exemptions and the such from there?
I'm not going to talk too much on the civilian side, because if I do, I'm going to start talking on things like AA and such, and that's a whole hornet's nest for later. However, in the military, at least in our military, there are no medical exemptions. When the military tells you you need to do something, you do it. You need this inoculation. Oh, but I'm against inoculations. Too bad. This is what you signed up for. As far as NATO goes, I've never actually dealt with any NATO medical teams. I would assume it's very much the same. The military pretty much ignores the existence of religion outside of its chaplains. And, you know, you can always talk to your chaplain and they might put in a referral for you for one thing or another. Kind of sucks that the chaplains also double as kind of head shrinkers. Not exactly something I agree with, but as far as, you know, trying to avoid doing something or having something done simply based on religious bias, it doesn't fly. Because you knew what you were getting into. You were fully briefed on what you were getting yourself into when you signed up, whether you signed your contract or accepted your commission.
Fair enough. And very, very much understandable on that one. For what it's worth, Witchy Bunny, yeah, I just tweeted at you and we exchanged it. Damn you, money. Damn you, money. Just know that we're thinking about you. We miss you. Anyway, so now that we've gotten that one out of the way, let's get the fun in here, because I don't, as much as I love to tackle the heavy topics, I like the lightweight ones. A year ago, give or take, I forgot who the gentleman's name was, but...
His name is Ryan Beth, I believe?
Bell.
Ryan Bell, yes.
Ryan Bell, okay. What was his... what was his previous title?
For about 20 years, he was a pastor for the Seventh-day Adventists.
Okay, so Pastor Ryan. He had decided about a year ago that he was going to take a year off from being religious and see what it's like to be, to live life as if he had no God belief, effectively as an atheist.
In his words, I will not pray, read the Bible for inspiration, refer to God as the cause of things, or hope that God might intervene and change my own or someone else's circumstances. That's pretty much it.
Joe, you're smiling really big. Yes, that's exactly where I was going to go. Now, a lot of the podcasters that I listen to basically said pretty much the same thing. That that's nice. It's kind of lip service. Why would you even claim this kind of thing and whatnot? A lot of folks were very dubious at the idea that this is even something that you can really just switch on and switch off. Chris, I'm pretty sure that you would have heard about it over on Skeptic's Guide to the Universe and such, eh?
Yeah, definitely. Early on, I had a similar reaction. As been said by numerous people, or at least it's very hard to choose what you believe. You can't just sort of flick that switch in your brain. So there was concern, is this some kind of stunt that's going to be used negatively or whatever? But I think once it was seen that he was genuine, then it was great. And I know that the secular community really rallied round him at some point when he lost his job.
Yep.
For undertaking this project. And there was a substantial amount of money donated to tide him over.
Yep. Matter of fact, I want to hit that one real quick before we get past that one. Please forgive me. I'm going to kind of piecemeal a couple of us at times, so please forgive me if I end up chopping you off in order to hit the individual bullet points here. Joseph, did you remember about this guy, and do you remember when the money thing came into play on this?
No, actually,
That's okay.
I know the basics of the story.
Okay. Short version, a couple of days after, within a week of when he came out with his big announcement that he was going to take time off to be an atheist, effectively, he lost his jobs. His mentoring program or whatever the proper title of it was. And Hemet Mehta, close, warm, personal friend of the show. No, he's not. Doesn't know anything about us. Hemet Mehta came out and basically said, okay, look, this guy is losing, like, huge. He's lost freaking everything. Let's go ahead and help him out a little bit. I don't remember what the exact amount was, but if memory serves, was it something on the order of something like $26,000 or something like that? I forget. It was something like that.
And this was money for him to do what?
Basically, the secular community... Oh, I'm sorry, Joe?
Yeah, it was money for him to live, to make it through the year.
Oh.
Yep, the secular community, because of Hemet Mehta, basically all pulled together and said, yeah, I'll give you a couple of bucks to help you out because you've just lost everything. His job, his mentoring position, he had literally everything ripped out from underneath him because he said, I'm just going to check and see what it's like for a year to get a better understanding of the other people, what's going on the other side of it all.
Yeah, and
I just wanted to say one thing about
Joe.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
About the, you said something, Chris, about the belief switch, and I'm convinced that you know, as soon as you start critical, as soon as you start thinking critically, there's no going back. I mean, and
you can't put the genie away.
Yeah, that's it. You can't unlearn how to ride a bicycle, for example. You know, so once you start down that path, you're set. And I really think this is why the church abandoned him, like they abandoned ship on him as soon as he started down this path.
I gotta disagree with the whole unlearn how to ride a bicycle analogy, because while it's only temporary, I've seen many a drunk completely forget.
there's something to be said for that. Yes, Chris.
Don't drink and ride.
Yeah, and this is a great example, and it's my understanding that he's going to be continuing to, you know, now as a secular humanist after the year's up, which is great. But I know there's a lot of people had him on sort of podcasts, welcomed him at conferences and events and whatever. And I think this is something he covered fairly early, that he was a bit wary of, you know, turning up at like an atheist convention, you know, on there and not knowing what reaction to get.
Yeah, and I will admit, I had a lot of skepticism about this myself, and I don't mean I want to verify all this stuff. I mean, I was highly dubious that this wasn't a propaganda trick of some kind. I really did not think that somebody could, in good conscience, do something like this.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw so many atheists, which were actually just, it was almost an infiltration of sorts, you know,
the
Christians posing as atheists, and of course that didn't work. But I mean, yeah, as soon as I found out that he was actually authentic, I'm his number one fan.
Yeah, and there were a lot of people who voiced their disagreement that anybody could even possibly do this in the begin with. But this guy took a lot of time. He took his year. He actually examined stuff. And when all is said and done, he came out and he said, look, you know what? I can't go back. And I need to go on. And I'm, he is, as I recall, he's going to be taking up a position with the Center for Inquiry, if I remember correctly. So he's got, regardless of where it is that he's going to be with, he's got a job. He's going to at least be able to support himself and his family. And I've got a real big question mark, however, at this point of where would we be if it had turned out that he went through and he did his year? Where would we be if we just went ahead and said, well, you know, it was a big cop out, and maybe I'm, you know what, I'm listening to how I'm saying this, and I'm thinking that I'm not saying it right.
If we were over-skeptical of him?
No, actually, where I'm trying to go is, okay, he took his time. He took his year. He examined with as much carefulness as he did, but yet he came out on the other side still theistic, still with a belief in God brought back. Where would the free thinking, the atheist community, where would we be at that point? Would we be sour grapes people? Would we be howling that this was just a PR thing, assuming that the guy was actually honest and sincere?
If he was honest and sincere, way I see it is, hey, that's fine. It is. It's your life. It's your choice. It's your opinion. That's perfectly valid. If you find yourself in need of that sort of support and reasoning, then by all means, if it's just for you, go ahead.
If he made however, it through, sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, if he made it, if he went back to the church after a year, all I would think is just he doesn't. He managed to go through a year without understanding a fucking thing about atheism. That's it.
Now, from what I can tell, the guy did it right. That is to say, he didn't go. I mean, he went to a couple of conventions at one point or another, but he didn't necessarily hang out with the folks that are diehard anti-religion or anything like that. No. According to what I'm seeing here, he spent his year reading as much as he could about science, philosophy, and interviewing just everyday agnostics and atheists to decide where he was going to be. And honestly, do we lose Shu?
Maybe not.
Okay. Whew.
Apparently I had some kind of a network thing.
Okay.
So did I just a minute ago.
However, the way he wrapped it up sounds like he was almost paraphrasing me for a moment. Quote, either God has responsibility or he does not. If he does, it seems like he's doing a pretty bad job of it. And if he does not, if he just wound the thing up and walked away, I don't see any point in worshiping a god like that. Sounds very similar to my usual spiel.
Yep, very, very much so. And there's something to be said for that. That concept of God starts to become very nebulous, because you start to deal with that concept, to me, you're no longer dealing with the traditional concept of quote unquote God, and I hate doing air quote God, so whatever, versus the creator. Because it's entirely possible to create something that you no longer have any control over once it goes. A perfect example would be you wrote a video game that you yourself cannot beat. I'm thinking of things like Five Nights at Freddy's, for instance. You're welcome.
No.
Anyway.
As if Chuck E. Cheese's wasn't creepy enough.
Yeah, but the idea of the traditional idea of God versus the creator, and that's it, gets all kinds of tangled. Anyway, so backtracking just a second, he made his way through, he gets to the end of it all, he comes out the other side, he's as religious or more than before, and please forgive me if I'm kind of doubling back over. What if, you know what, Joe, let me ask you, how many, do you think that there would have been a lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth on podcasts of people saying, well, you know, of course, that's the way that would be, you know, the whole sour grapes thing?
No. No, I think it'd be just back to business as usual. That's it. I mean, there was a bit of a controversy about, I forget her name, but there was somebody posing as an atheist. She's very popular on US talk shows. And she was outed as actually a theist. Well, anyway, she was outed. And just, there was no controversy. I mean,
just the thing.
Right. Isn't that rather unusual for someone in the American media to be presenting themselves as an atheist? I didn't get what the story behind that was.
I forget her name. Sorry.
Well,
she was on. real time with Bill Maher.
You know what they say. Actors are all liars. Some of them are really good liars.
And some of them get on Fox News, but you know, I would never go ahead and make any disparaging remarks about them. I mean, that would be wrong.
Fox News. Bad actors.
Hmm. But you know, the thing of it is for me is maybe I'm a little bit more cynical than I gave myself credit for, believe it or not. Which, yeah, there's a joke behind it, but I'm really wondering how many groups, how many podcasters and podcasts would be very upset afterwards that, you know, of course you came through the other side and you're still the same person that you were because you didn't really, you know, I forget which logical fallacy it would be, but basically saying, yeah, you put up a nice front and you know what, you got all your publicity, congratulations, move on, whatever. But I'm also wondering, I'm also thinking that there would probably be a number of organizations that even if he did come out the other side still theistic, that they would have still invited him to come to talk. For no other reason, not because of a similar ideology from the theistic point of view, so much as from the standpoint of it is possible to disagree even though we have both gone through actual careful examination to the best of our abilities. Even if we don't agree, we can at least come together and discuss what that all is, what it means to us. Yeah, Joseph?
If that had been the case, I would be very excited to see him in a debate. For example, with Matt Dillahunty. Because I guarantee you it would have been a hell of a lot more consideration and thought into the entire process than what Seitan Bergenkate had put into it.
Good point.
Yeah, and I can think of easily like half a dozen shows that would have been welcomed in with open arms out of genuine interest for his take on the year and his reasons for, you know, going back to theism, whatever, if that had been the case. And I think there would have been a lot to learn, you know, from that, and a lot of understanding, because it's quite an unusual thing to do.
Yeah, it's a good point. Joe, something on that also for you?
Well, just a thought that something tells me that this wasn't a split decision. I mean, it wasn't something, I think this has been in the works for a while for him. Mm. It's just my personal impression. But the atheist community, if you want to call it that, they've always been accepting of Christian debate. Actually, they have a hard time getting debates going with Christians because to get them outside of their bubble, so to speak, and discussing rationally, or trying to, anyways.
Yeah, that's a big deal because admittedly, we get blamed for the whole, you know, it wasn't the dingo that got the baby, it was the atheists. And I mean, we observe, you know, no meat Saturdays. We don't have baby on Saturday. We marinate on Saturdays. Sunday is the big feast day for babies. So, that you know, we get viewed very poorly a lot of times in many different ways. So even asking somebody who's of a theist bend to not even debate, but just to have a conversation, it's like pulling friggin' teeth a lot of times over here in the States, at least. I mean, I know, like you guys had said, I mean, Joe, for you, you know, religion is effectively a non-issue in the general public sector. You've effectively said, right?
It is, and it well, it's a bottom sea current.
Okay, this is a good way of putting it. And Chris, because of the Church of England still having some overall influence in the general consciousness, it's there, but I don't think that the stigma is quite the same, not even as it would be over here in the States.
The question is, does the Church of England really qualify as as religion? I don't know, I'm joking when I'm saying that, but it tends to be fairly moderate. They have made some moves to accepting sort of female clergy and whatever. It obviously is a slow process. But they're not particularly sort of radical or firebrand. You know, Church of England services don't involve much speaking in tongues and passing the snakes around and stuff.
Thank God.
And there's but they we are there are issues with more fundamentalist groups infiltrating into the school system and the government putting up like faith academies. We've also got issues with the Islamic population.
Yeah, it's becoming a bigger issue, I remember.
Imana, one godless woman on Twitter, posted a video earlier covering got guys in East London now doing Sharia patrols, harassing women that aren't covered head to toe, and anyone that they think doesn't meet Muslim standards.
Do that in America sometime.
And it's quite concerning. And they claim that this is, you know, their freedom to express their religion, which tells them to go out and do this in the same way that, I don't know, Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses feel that they're free to come and knock on people's doors and be a pain in the neck.
Yeah, but here's the difference, you see.
It's in a slightly more sinister way.
The difference is the Jehovah's Witnesses, they'll come and knock on your door and pitch to you their ideas, but you still have the ability to just say, yeah, you're trespassing, get off my lawn. No soliciting. Whereas with the whole Sharia law thing, no, these are guys that are actively going out into public places and harassing people. Again, like I said, try pulling that in America sometime. See how well it works out for you. There was something else I had on my mind, and it's gone now.
It's okay.
Where did you get the harassing bit? How do they do that?
I'll link the video for you in a minute when I find it again. But they're sort of basically going up and haranguing women in the street.
Really?
Drive out people that they think might be homosexual or otherwise not acting in accordance with Sharia law.
If you've ever seen any sort of candid camera show, punked or anything like that, it's one of those things. It's, you know, random person on the street, and this person, this proselytizer just walks up to them. Stuff like that.
No, this is more like, and I'm sorry, I know this is not a Power of 10 show. This is more like three or four of them will walk up and basically say, get out of our fucking neighborhood. This is a Muslim area, you faggot. Get out.
Really?
Yeah.
We don't have that here.
Yeah,
I should go visit the UK sometime.
After women calling them whores in the streets.
Because they're
not wearing the Islamic garb. And this is completely unacceptable. And I think... I think the leadership in the Islamic community, as well as the government and the police, need to send a really strong message that this behavior is not acceptable, and you can practice your own religion, but please, like, don't, you know, assault or harass or threaten and intimidate people in the street.
Yeah, there's a piece about this that I want to make sure that is abundantly clear, that I'm basing this on what I know, or at least what I think I know, of the rules and laws here in the States by comparison. What they're doing, by this description, what they're doing would be considered wrong here.
Let's see. Harassment, disturbance of the peace.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Yes, but that also depends as to how much of... You know, screw it. I'll just remark this one as mature for everybody. This particular item really depends as to how much of a dick the prosecution wants to be, because you could make a case for disturbing the peace, for harassment, for jaywalking, for all you care. You know, there's a whole bunch of possibilities, but what they're doing is not illegal, and I'm being very cagey about this one, because I don't think that it would be considered you're going to jail. I think that it could be very easily, or much more easily, viewed as stop doing it, you know, but the police saying, you don't stop doing it, go across the street, you don't like it. Or even writing a citation or something like that.
They can say what they wish, but when they start interfering with someone else's life, as in, like, as he described it, you know, a bunch of guys just closing in at once and trying to not by force, but by verbal provocation, force somebody out of a particular area.
Intimidation.
That would be under what we would call a misdemeanor, but here's the wonderful thing about misdemeanors: you do it once, you get a slap on the hand. You do it twice, you get a slap on the hand. You do it three times, it's not such a soft slap on the hand anymore.
Yeah, assuming that you get caught and convicted or whatever the case may be. There's a lot of pieces about that one, but that's...
Yeah, we've also got problems with people like the... I think it's the English Defence League and right-wing extremists running around, barging into mosques and being abusive and whatever to
and
Muslims
that's not okay.
as well.
That's not okay
And
either.
That's not okay either. And, you know, neither side's any better than the other, really. But this is likely to cause serious issues, and people are liable to get hurt if this continues.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
For fundamentalists, they tend to politely ignore some of the core fundamentals of what they're supposedly preaching.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, now I want to see about getting us wrapped up over here, because I'm unfortunately I'm a little on the tired side. Like I said at the top of the show, I probably should have just called off, but I can't do that unless it's something really, really pressing. But you know, press on and finish out. Well, I'm gonna do two quick things over here. Katie, which, by the way, thank you, of course, had asked, I can't help but wonder if Ryan Bell wasn't already having doubts and just needed time to sort everything out for himself. That's a perfectly valid concern, and that's something that I had been kind of wondering. Joe, I'm kind of wondering if you had also been thinking the same thing, and if you think that's
exactly probably. What I was thinking.
Yeah,
and I think great way of leaving the church. Sorry.
So you'd at least have to be open to the question or the possibility.
Yeah, exactly. Joseph, what? I mean, it makes sense for you also, I'd assume.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, even right now, the guy identifies himself as a very weak atheist. He's not saying there is no God. I've never said there is no God. Could there be he is fully entertaining the idea there could be a God, just as I do. He just agrees with me that if there is a God, he's a bit of a dick.
Which, to be fair, there's a lot of possibility for that one, just from the first book.
There's
of the
plenty of evidence for that.
Yeah, there's that. There is that. And you know, oh God, there is so much for that. But that's for another day. But yeah, the possibility that maybe it was just his exit strategy that makes a lot of sense. And I don't believe that he will ever end up seeing this, and I don't think the clip will ever make it to him, but if that was your exit strategy, first off, I'm not going to say that's a coward's way out. I'm not even going to say good on you. I'm going to say good on you for having eyes open enough to see that there was even an exit strategy available to you like that, where you didn't have to worry about nearly as much. And unfortunately, the worst case scenario ended up happening anyway, which hurt.
I just want to add that this, okay, there's a bit of a buzz about it now, but it's what he's done is much more important than we know now, because it's setting a precedent and it hasn't been done before. And I'm really, really hoping somebody in my family, particularly, I hope they follow his example. And I mean, he's setting an example, like publicly, and this really hasn't been done before.
Well, it's been a you're quite right. Like this, you're quite right. It hasn't been quite like that before. I mean, we had what the hell was his name? Was it Jerry DeWitt? I think was the guy. Ended up coming out when all was said and done, and just made the conversion quietly behind the scenes with whatever group. I forget what the hell it was. You know what? I don't even remember. This is you know what? Yes.
I think his Jerry DeWitt's case was a great one, where his experience as a pastor or a preacher or whatever you called it has been a great benefit to the atheist community, because if you hear him speak, and he's absolutely brilliant. One I was going to mention was Theresa McBain, who about 2 or 3 years ago came out at one of the national atheist conferences, and you know, was, you know, I've got an incredibly welcoming response there.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that she used to be, you know, preaching that the atheists were, you know, baby eating devil worshippers or whatever. You know, things along those lines.
Yeah, if memory serves, wasn't it a matter that she was using a pseudonym for a long time and then came out and on stage and actually said, "My name is, and I am an atheist," and in front of like the entire group, and just got a big old bear hug from somebody.
Yeah.
There and are. Yes, Joe.
The Ryan Bell thing, you know, I really haven't had time to sound out what attention the media is paying to this, because within the atheist community, it's a big thing that is coming up, but I still don't know how much the outside world, quote unquote, is seeing with all this.
From what it looks like right now, they're treating it just as your typical C-list news, something that will maybe pop up as an article here or there. Hell, the information I have on it is from an article from the LA Times. So it's not... it's mentioned in some mainstream news and magazine, but I wouldn't expect to see anything about it on CNN or Fox News or anything like that.
They're going to brush it under the carpet, I think.
Probably. I mean, it's not, it doesn't bleed, so it won't lead. As much as I hate the expression, which such is.
No, I mean, anyway. Yeah, the blog he's kept is a great resource for, you know, for people that are maybe looking to come out of religion or who have questions on their faith and are worried about the kind of reception they're going to get from the community. And stories like his, you know, are always great to hear.
Very much. All right. So we're going to see about getting us wrapped up over here. And for those of you that have been expecting more of the 90-minute shows instead of the two-hour shows, I'm sorry. I'm kind of working on it. But as always, you know, the shows take us where they take us. And I kind of am at the mercy of how well that ends up. There's a story behind it, and I'll save that for another talk for another time. But Maddie, drop this one over here, and I'm going to kind of use this as our going out piece. As the new year has come upon us, are there any tips you can give us on sticking to our resolutions and goals? I'm going to kind of change this around a little bit, and I don't know that anybody in our group at this point has got a resolution, so to speak. Maybe a hope towards a goal or something to hope for. Joe, I'm going to give you the first crack on this one. You've had a couple of goals that you've already had the chance of following up on. Going to sleep, getting up a little bit early so you could actually be with us, which flatters to me to no end. You have no idea.
Okay.
So what are you looking towards doing for the rest of the year? Not necessarily in conjunction with all this, but, I mean, for yourself personally.
Business as usual. I would like, you know, my latest kick has been critical thinking. I'd really like to promote that. I'd really, I don't know where to start, but as an education or something like that, I want there to be more out there about it. So, and I'm still researching it. So, finding a way of inserting it into our education.
A little bit of time. Joseph, how about for you? I know that the last year has had its ups and downs and lots of bumps and such. Besides acquiring a vat of Dr. Pepper and a canning machine, what are you hoping for goal-wise for this year?
I wouldn't even go that far. I'd just rob a truck. But honestly, there's nothing special about a date for setting a goal. You should always be constantly setting goals to improve yourself and such. And it's the same no matter when you do it. Be realistic. Follow through. And expect to stumble, because we ain't perfect. Just remember, to paraphrase, keep calm, and carry a big stick.
I think I've heard that somewhere along the way. And Chris, how about for you? What are you goal oriented for at this point? What do you want to do? Who do you want to hurt?
I don't really want to hurt anyone. On the New Year's resolution front, a few years ago, I took to making the same set of resolutions regularly. And that was to get some six-pack abs, a private jet, and lots of amazing sex with gorgeous women.
But that was yesterday.
I did this based on a statistical analysis of how many people achieve their New Year's resolutions. And I thought I would just, you know, pick something that's blatantly not going to happen.
Like, who wants to make rules for themselves? Come on.
Rules are... Well, rules are good.
Yeah, we all have rules for them, for ourselves.
Mm. Yeah, gravity happens to be one of them, and I very much like that one. Thank you very much.
In fact, oh dear, I'm going to out myself on this one. Good men don't need rules. Now's not the time to find out why I have so many.
That's quite all right. I think those that do understand all too well. Although I believe some other people might actually want me to respond with, shall I repeat the question? But that's a whole other piece for later. Did I lose everybody again?
No.
Okay, uh-huh. Good. I was getting worried there a second. Sorry, everything went quiet, and it was like when my modem, my router screwed up again. I think I gotta see about changing around my router configuration. Not really thrilled with this. Maybe. Anyway. So now the question is, what's going on goal-wise for the new year? Yeah, it's just another day. It's just another piece of the orbit, and I get that, and I understand that. And we haven't exactly hit the first year worth of shows, even though we've had a year already. You know, I'm still waiting for that magical number 52, because that will mean to me that I've finished a year's worth of talks and discussions, and a lot of it was originally to help myself, and admittedly a good portion of it was, you know, just straight out spite. I will admit it, but a good portion of this was to be able to have these discussions in a forum where we weren't pissing people off. And Joe and I are part of a group where this kind of discussion was not where we needed it to be. And as a matter of fact, stuff that was a lot more religion bashing. And this was also a portion of why we stopped doing it over there, so that we could just bring it here and have our outlet. So what do I want to do? What do I want to accomplish? What goal am I aiming towards? Personally, I want to keep losing weight. I joke that I've had this pregnancy weight for longer than Tiny Tribble has been around. And unfortunately, that's kind of true. I've had a larger body type than I'd like for a long time. And slowly that's whittling away, little at a time. I'm now bouncing around 240 pounds, which puts me at about 100 kilos. About 100 kilos. Just short computation in my head. 110. Roughly 110. But it's coming down, little at a time. It's coming down. And that's a good thing. I want to make this show worth more people. I want to have more visibility for this show, because I think it's got something worth. And I'm really, really, really bad about that kind of thing. I really am. Yeah, it sounds like such an oxymoron saying it, but I have to say it because the honesty part of me has to say it. I am modest. As much as I play it up for my other shows where I play up a good game, I am very incredibly humble about a lot of this stuff. I don't take compliments well. I don't like to promote myself. I don't like to feel like I'm inserting information about me. I don't want to be viewed as the guy who wants to talk about himself and bring up stuff at every opportunity, because I don't want to be that guy. And how do I balance that against getting the word out that I would like and getting the attention that I want for us.
Simple enough. It's not a narcissism thing. You're not doing it for the sake of yourself. You're doing it for the sake of the, not necessarily the word, but the discussion.
And that's where the balancing act is. I want to show that we've got what it takes. I want to show that a format like this, even though it is still small, is still worthy and worthwhile. I want to have Noah and Heath and Lucinda come back. I want Lucinda to come back. I want Sam Mulvey to come back. I want to have a specific discussion with Sam, with along with Matt Dillahunty and Seth Andrews, all together on our show, all at the same time, so that we can discuss an actual real topic instead of fanboying and fangirling, as the case may be. I want to have the stones to be able to say, this is worth your time, and mean it and believe it. I want to be able to feel like I've accomplished. I want to make a difference. And I know I've had a lot of people who have said, yeah, you've done. And in some cases, they've said it's because I've got the little one being brought up and is a wonderful person. And I've had some people who've said, you know, you're talking. I come to listen to you. And that's incredibly flattering. What do I want for goal? I want a lot of things. But I tell you something that has not wavered. As much as I want to keep doing good, as much as I want to keep doing this, I will still want one of the biggest things. I still want my revenge. And that sounds so weird coming out of my face, I know. A lot of people are going to be looking at me going, what the hell just happened?
No, I get it.
I want my revenge. Am I going to get it this year? No. Probably not. And a lot of people are really wondering, who could I possibly want revenge on? I want cancer. Like with the Godfather, I want cancer's head in my bed, bloodied and lifeless, figuratively speaking.
I would rather...
Very quickly, Joe.
I would rather the Jersey scene rather than that scene, but...
Bottom line. I know that there is a very good likelihood that I will not get what I'm hoping for, simply because of design. But I can certainly hope for the best possible way of eradicating, if not the actual, but the symptoms of it all. All we need to do is just keep pushing it further and further and further back. Who knows? Maybe sometime during this year, maybe we'll get the opportunity of talking with one of the doctors that's trying to help that happen. Let's see what happens. As always, everyone, thank you very much for your time and watching. We know it's not a sexy vlogcast, but we do still think that perspectives that we have are worth and are worth the time for everyone to really discuss. As always, I want to thank the panel for taking the time. Joseph, for showing up at all, I really do appreciate it, and I hope that whatever it is that's kept you is not that big a deal.
Sleep. Maybe not that big a deal, but hey, it can be. But it's my pleasure. I will definitely invest in more alarm clocks.
Fair enough.
It's a problem I'll discuss later.
No worries. Chris, thank you very much for joining, of course, as always, this morning.
No problem. Good to be here.
And Joe, thank you for being very gracious, even though we kind of tricked you a little bit to stay on and talk. You can thank Heretic Woman for that one.
Oh, yeah, don't worry. Yeah, well, thanks for making me courageous enough to do this.
And that's something that I want to leave everybody with as we get out over here. There are plenty of opportunities for people to have their voice out there. And I mentioned about it before. Ashley, even though it is not joining us quite yet, the place is always open for you, of course. But there are opportunities for you to get your voice out there. More and more and more every day. If you're not sure who you can talk to, we're here. There's plenty of opportunity. If you'd like to contact me to go along with the show, please, by all means, send me an email at shujintribble@gmail.com. Please remember to put holy crap in the subject line. I'd be more than happy to cover stuff. You'll find me under pretty much any of the instant message systems or personal places. Don't do MySpace. I don't even believe I've got an account in there anymore. It's a long story. But you can find me under Shujin Tribble pretty much anywhere and everywhere. If you're looking to...
even around.
If you want to follow me somewhere, please make sure that you send me a message to let me know that you're finding me from Holy Crap, so I don't suddenly get these weird Facebook follow friend request things. It would be really, really nice, because I don't want to feel like I got to investigate everybody. Although it would be really, really, really interesting if I were to suddenly get a follow request, a friend request from... Why is there not a Facebook account that's following me or asking to follow me yet called the Amish Wolverine? Why isn't that a thing yet? I would love to see that.
It's got to be because Tech couldn't make it this week.
That's a good point. That's
exactly what I was going to say.
That's a good point, but we will see about that. Okay, so there's only one episode since we started that we've missed, so there we go. In the meantime, of course, if you'd like to drop a voicemail message, feel free. Again, the phone number, 859-HCTV-554. I want to see about doing a lot more for us. I don't know how much I can really do, and I don't feel right with trying to pawn it off on anybody, but we'll see. Who knows? Maybe we'll actually turn this into something that will rival somebody else for a change.
Some men just want to watch the world learn.
I would very much like to be one of those people. Meantime, as always, everyone, thank you very much for your time. We hope that you've enjoyed yourselves, haven't passed out too badly. And, of course, for you, thanks. Really, thanks. And, of course, for all of you, I say my goodnights, and I always end saying goodnight to my lady, too, because even though this will be 10 years soon, I'm still in love. Matane Fujin, I love you and I miss you. Dream of me. As always, everyone else, I wish you all the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you well. Until the very next time we get together, everyone, as always, good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.